It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Once again, it's a pleasure to share with you It's a Good Life. Well, let me remind you today that we're going to be looking at a bird's eye view. And this is a bird's eye view of the New Testament. And today we're going to be looking at study number 17, the book of Titus. Well, in Titus chapter 1, we see several verses that we could use as key verses. But there are other verses as well. In chapter 2, verse 15, and chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Well, let me share with you chapter 3 and verses 3 through 6, where it says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." Well, Paul the Apostle is writing here, and that, of course, is the first thing that I'd like to mention to you, is that the one who, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this epistle, and that is Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle to Titus. According to Titus chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness." See, all of Paul's other letters, except for Philemon, were written to churches. But the three letters that we are discussing, now we've already discussed 1 and 2 Timothy, and today we're looking at Titus. These three letters were written to two men, Timothy and Titus. Well, both of these men were pastors or shepherds, which means that they were leaders in their churches. Just as a shepherd is to take care of the sheep, these men were responsible to take care of the believers who were in their churches. This is why these three letters are often called pastoral letters or pastoral epistles. And let me remind you today, as I've done in the past, I believe it was the last time that 1 Timothy was written, and then, according to tradition or the time set, then Titus was written, then 2 Timothy. Well, the reason that we look at the scriptures as we have had in these studies, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus, is the way they appear in the approved version of the English Bible, the King James Bible. And I believe that the King James is the Word of God. And I would advise you to use the King James Bible, written on a fourth grade level. And we can understand it, and we do understand it by the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. You know, I find it interesting that in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, Paul says to Timothy in verse 13, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee." Notice this, "and the books, but especially the parchments." Now here was a man who was in a dungeon. This is Paul. A cold, damp, dark dungeon. He needed to have something to keep him warm. He needed a coat, and he said, "When you come, bring that coat if you would." And he says this, "Bring especially the parchments." He says, "Bring the books and especially the parchments. You know, I need something to stay warm," he says, "but look, make sure you bring the parchments." Well, what was he speaking of? I believe he was speaking of those books of the Old Testament. I believe that he, during this time, although he was a well-versed person in the Old Testament scriptures, I believe that he still wanted to study the Word of God. Well, you and I need to do the same. Would to God that more of us would get into the scriptures and rightly divide the word of truth. And I pray today, as we study these scriptures together, that you're letting the Holy Spirit lead you and speak to your heart as we take a bird's eye view and look with a bird's eye view of Titus and these other books of the New Testament. Well, once again, Paul the Apostle was the writer. The date of the letter was written after 1 Timothy and before 2 Timothy in approximately AD 65. And we see the setting here is that Paul possibly wrote from Macedonia, for he had not yet reached Nicopolis. And you can read Titus chapter 3 and verse 12, and it says there, when I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Well, now the letter was written after he was released from the first Roman imprisonment. A man of God was in prison. He was released, and then later he would be imprisoned again. Well, now the location of Titus was Crete. We know this because in Titus chapter 1 and verse 12, it talks about this. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, we see that. And then in Titus chapter 2 and verse 15, it talks about that. It says in those verses, Titus chapter 1 and verse 12 says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. For this cause I left in Crete. Now this is Paul talking to Titus. He says, I left you in Crete, chapter 1 and verse 5. And following Paul's release from his first Roman imprisonment, he and Titus worked briefly in Crete, and after that, which he commissioned Titus to remain there as his representative and to complete some needed work. Paul asked Titus to meet him at Nicopolis when a replacement arrived. Well, you read about this in Titus chapter 3, verse 12. And later, Titus went on to a mission in Dalmatia. And the last word we hear about Titus in the New Testament is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. And according to the assignments given to him, he obviously was a capable and resourceful leader. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 says, for Demas hath forsaken me. And this is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Well, the fourth largest island in the Mediterranean Sea is Crete, and it lies directly south of the Aegean Sea. In New Testament times, life in Crete had sunk to a deplorable moral level. The dishonesty, gluttony, and laziness of its inhabitants were proverbial. We've read that in Titus chapter 1 and verse 12. Well, there are many verses we could look at here concerning Titus and Crete, but let's move on to the theme of the book of Titus. The theme seems to be good works. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Well, the key phrase here is good works, and this would be an appropriate theme that we could look at in this epistle. In other words, maintain good works. What about the purpose of the book? First of all, I believe the purpose is to encourage Titus to complete the difficult ministerial work that still needed to be done on Crete. Now, according to chapter 1 and verse 5, we read that. Well, the purpose is also to put in writing the verbal instructions Paul had given Titus before leaving the island. Well, then we see that it was also to give Titus work in the church of Crete, Paul's apostolic authority. In other words, Paul was giving him the authority that he needed, Paul's apostolic authority. We read about this in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And Paul's closing this letter with the benediction, grace be with you all. And this indicates Paul intended the contents of the letter to be read and heard by all the Christians on Crete. Well, let's look at Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says there, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Well, Paul was passing the mantle, as such, and to Titus to carry on the work there. And God has passed on the mantle to each shepherd of the flock in local churches today, to those men who are preaching the Word of God, taking care of the sheep of God, those individuals who have called upon His name and trusted Jesus as their Savior. Have you trusted Jesus today as your Lord and Savior? Are you living for Him? If you've trusted Him and you've asked Him to come into your heart, and you know you're on your way to heaven, but you're just not doing what you're supposed to do for Him, you're not working for Him, you're not doing what He wants you to do, well, I encourage you to turn your life over to Him, over to the Lord, and let the One who saved you, who will take you to heaven one day, serve that person. And I encourage you to be serving Him, that's Jesus Christ, in your local church, whether it be teaching the Word of God, or whether it be sweeping the floor, whether it be doing whatever God has laid on your heart. You need to be serving God in your local church. Now, if you've been called to teach or preach, you need to be doing that. If you've been called to do whatever it is in the local church that you're staying away from, you need to get things right with God and start serving Him today. And if you've never been saved, you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you need to ask Him right now, "Come into my heart, Lord. I repent of my sin." And that word repent means that you have had a change of mind. In other words, you know you can't save yourself. You know you can't go to heaven by your good works. That means that you're willing to go God's way, that you're willing to ask Him to save you. You're willing to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. "Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Please come into my heart. Lord, I can't save myself. You are the One who can save me, and I'm trusting You right now to come into my heart and save me so that I will have eternal life, and one day I'll be able to see You and thank You personally." On the other hand, if you've never trusted Jesus and you refuse to do that, then the Bible says that there is a place that you will go that was prepared for the devil and his angels, and that place is called hell. Hell, a place of never-ending torment. Oh, you say, "Well, I've heard about the lake of fire. What about that?" You said hell's in the hell, and everything that we know as sin will be cast into the lake of fire. That means if you go to hell one day, you will be cast into the lake of fire, and you will be tormented forever and ever. Well, you don't have to go there. You can trust Him today, just as I've already said. You can trust Him and you can be on your way to heaven. And then you too can be serving God, the God of heaven, the Creator, the One who has created everything in this world and every place else. Everything that was created according to the Word of God by Jesus Christ. He is God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time we've had together. And I pray, Lord, as we study Your Word, that You would lead us, guide us, and direct us. Help us to take to heart what You have for us today as saved people. Save that soul today nearest hell. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.